This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Hey, I want to talk to you this morning. How do we establish, if you haven't noticed yet, it is Christmas season, it's Christmas time. And I don't know, I've thought so much about Christmas. Christmas is one of those seasons I love. And yet, it just has this ability to just grab us, grab our attention and grab our focus. And I've really been wrestling, like I do every year, really, but how do we establish a home, a place to make the most out of the Christmas season? And so I want to challenge you this morning with a topic that I'm just simply called a Jesus-focused Christmas. A Jesus-focused Christmas. Like I don't know if you've ever recognized or it just feels like this year more than any other year that everything is trying to get your attention during the holiday seasons. And I want to help us like take a moment to pull us back to what the real season of Christmas is all about. It's about focusing on Jesus. And I have found that there are so many things trying to get your attention during the holiday season. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this. Like, I don't know if this year just feels like more different than any other year. But have you noticed that people just seem impatient this year, right? I don't know. I mean, they're just looking a little meaner when they look at me, you know. And I'm talking about them. They're impatient. I'm not. I'm like, I'm happy. I'm just cool, chill. But people just seem a little bit more impatient this time of the year. There's always something trying to grab your attention. Like there's attention grabbers. Like how many know presents is an attention grabber? Like the Christmas gifting is gotten out of control. You know what I'm saying? Like it can consume your life. Like, do I have the right gift? Did I get them too much? Did I get them too little? Like, what am I getting? Right? That's important. But it's just out of control. Like, and I read this stat recently that the average lady spends 20 hours during the Christmas season looking for gifts. 20 hours. Some of you have already surpassed that 20-hour mark. But 20 hours. That same stat says the average man spends 10 hours looking for gifts during the Christmas season. By the way, I would add this, ladies in the room, if you see us in the mall and we have like extra big eyes and we look like we're on drugs and like that we're just lost and wandering, help a brother out, all right? So like literally, man, it's okay. If you don't know us, ladies, just walk up and say, can I help you? Like, do you need guidance? Like, we'll probably say, I haven't seen my wife in 3 days. I'm lost. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where. Help a brother out. It's okay. Like I'm that dad that many times, like, when my kids open a gift, I'm just as surprised as they are, right? Like, wow, that's great. What a cool gift. I didn't know that. It can consume your life. How many know another thing that grabs your attention is family during the holiday season can consume your life? Like, the family expectations of the holidays. Like, where do we go? What do we buy them? Who do we buy for? Like, is it my year or is it my spouse's year? Like, why don't the kids come and visit us anymore? Like, how do we handle the crazy uncle or the crazy cousin, right? How many of you know every family has one of them, right? And if you can't identify one in your family, you're it, all right? You're the crazy one. Another one it consumes is, how many know the Christmas baking and meals consume us? Like my wife said to me this morning, she goes, I got to go shopping. I got to get food. I'm like, no, we're good. And she's like, well, then you don't get any cookies this year. You know what I mean? It's consuming. Like, what do we make? What do I bring? What do we not bring? What do we gift? And like, do we set a quota on how many cookies we eat this year? Like, every one of us do that. And, I just had a physical this week, and I said, you're doing great. And he goes, see, a few things you work on, but well, you could do it after the holiday season, right? Because it's like the cookie, then the eating, and the baking, and all those types of things. How about, this is another one that consumes us in the Christmas season. This one gets me crazy. There's the Christmas photos. Listen, folks, it's got out of control. Like, we don't need any pictures of you all in matching pajamas. We don't. It's just weird, all right? Like, we don't need those. Like the perfect matching family outfits, right? How many know that the reality is most of those photos are staged, right? Most of those photos are photoshopped. Like, everyone's really not that happy. Like there's someone behind the camera with a squeaky toy making that kid smile at that moment, right? It's chaos behind the scenes of those photos. But we don't know that. It consumes us, right? But it's part of the Christmas season. Then there's the Christmas parties. Like, how many know every group you're a part of has a party? It's another gift I've got to buy. I don't know about you, but I don't care if I eat another prime rib or grilled chicken, right? You know, like, I'm just done. All those things. And I know I'm sounding really bah humbug right now. Like, man, the pastor, he needs help. He needs counseling during the season. But the reality is, right, the season can consume your life. And if we're not careful, we'll make the Christmas season just rush by. And we will miss the very reason of what it's all for in the first place. So I want to show us in the scripture, in the Bible, what the reason of this is all about. And we're going to go back 3,400 years from now. Like 1,400 years before Jesus even shows up on the scene. And we're going to look in the book of Numbers. Now, I know what you're thinking. Christmas series starting with the book of Numbers? Like, what? That's so weird. That's unusual. But we got to get this morning, because this is where we have this book where it all begins, where there's this prophetic passage that shows up that talks about the upcoming Messiah that would be the Savior of the world. So the background of this story that we're going to talk about is if you got this evil king, and he is the king over this country called Moab. And Moab is this group of people that were actually against the people of God. And this evil king, his name is Balak. And he brings in this prophet, and he wanted this prophet to speak negative word over these people. Like, he basically, think about propaganda. Like, he wanted to create this propaganda that they would speak negatively over God's people. So what he did is he brings this guy in, and this prophet's name was Balaam. And Balaam, his reality is, he's like, I can't speak negative, because he only wants to speak what God was speaking. So what he did is, when he spoke this prophetic message over the people of Israel, who were in a season waiting for the Messiah to come. And so I want you to see the words that Balaam spoke 1,400 years before Jesus even shows up on the scene. We find it in Numbers chapter 24. He says this: I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. And then look what he says: a star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Now I want you to pause for a moment, because this is a prophetic picture of what will happen. You're waiting for a Savior. You're waiting for a Messiah to come. You're waiting for the one that's been told that will come. And Balaam says to them, I see it. It's just not happening yet. And he says these words. He says, a star will come up out of Jacob. And I love the imagery there, because when we think of it today in 2024, when we think of a star, we immediately go to things like Hollywood and the celebrities that we want to model our lives after, right? The celebrities that tell us how to live, and this is how you should want your life to be. And we think of the star, the selfishness of the world. And I want you look at this passage, and it says, oh, the star that this whole thing is about, that comes up out of Jacob, is Jesus. Like, Jesus is the star. Like, when we think of the Christmas season, the one that should rise up, the one that we should take prominence, is this person named Jesus. Can I remind you this morning, as cheesy as it sounds, that he is the reason for the season. He's the reason for the season. And when everything else is trying to vie for your attention, we need to be intentional this Christmas to put your attention back on the true star of the show. The one who it's all about, the one who came 2,000 years ago, who lived a perfect life, who died a horrific death for your sins and for my sins, who rose on the third day, overcoming death, hell, and the grave. Jesus is still the star of Christmas. He's the star of Christmas and what it should all be about. So we have to be intentional at putting our focus back on him. And throughout the Old Testament, you could see where there was this constant prophetic message of this star that was going to come. In fact, there are 322 prophecies given in the Old Testament that all point to a single star, a single Savior that would come up out of Jacob. We see this fulfilled on Christmas Day. It's why we celebrate. It's why we come together to see the fulfillment of this star that was talked about for thousands and thousands of years. So how do we this morning have a Jesus-focused Christmas? Well, I think that there's some things that outline for us to how do we put the focus back on Him. So if we're going to have a Jesus-focused Christian, we got to understand a few things. First thing we have to understand is that there's a waiting for His arrival. There's a waiting for His arrival. We are waiting for His arrival. That's what they were doing all these years ago. There's a season that's leading up to His arrival, and we call that Advent. We call it Advent. Advent means simply this, coming or arrival. It's this season of like anticipation before He shows up on the scene. And hear me, church, we have to understand that life is full of moments where you are waiting. You're waiting for God to show up on the scene. Some of you are waiting for things to happen, and they haven't happened yet, but you're waiting. And it wasn't just what happened 3,400 years ago when the people of Israel are in the need of a Savior, and like, well, it's coming, but it's not coming yet. He's going to show up. You just have to wait for Him. Then you get to Isaiah and the prophet, hundreds of years later, prophesied again. He says, hey, He's going to come. You're in a waiting period, but He's going to come. Then you get to the very last book of the Bible in Malachi, the very last book. And again, there's a prophecy. He's going to come. You're waiting, but He's going to come. And literally, there were 400 years from that time on to when Jesus steps in on the scene. Let me ask you this question this morning. How are you doing today in your waiting season? Like, I don't know about you, but I hate waiting. Like, I just feel like it's not my spiritual gift. God did not give me a spiritual gift of waiting. I'm just not good at it. Literally this week, I did something I've never done before. I was on the phone with customer service with a company, and they said that automated thing comes on. It says, your call will be answered in 3 minutes. And I'm like this. I used to use phrase like when you talk about football and the penalty flag. When they said, you know, the call will be answered in 3 minutes, I went, flag. I don't believe it. So you know what I did? I did something I've never done before. I put the timer on my phone. I'm going to time these jokers. So I put it on my phone, literally, and the music's playing. You know that music that plays? It's supposed to entertain you. And how many of you know this? And it's happened to me. Like, ever been on the call, you're waiting, and the music starts to die down? And it's usually down, you're like, oh, hey there, hello, hello? And then the music picks back up again. It's a trick, y'all. I literally think when that happens and you say hello, the 3 minutes start over again. And I'm like, oh, man. And then the person finally answered, I literally waited 5 minutes. I didn't like it. I was not happy. They lied to me. One of the places people don't get is, when it frustrates me in the waiting, what people don't get right here in Missoula is the Missoula roundabout. Do you know that there are sections in the roundabout where you don't have to stop? And yet, why do you do that, y'all? Why do you pause? Why do you stop? You don't have to stop there. You're costing me 10 seconds of my life. Just keep going. It's okay. It's frustrating to wait. Nobody likes to wait. And we all have those moments of waiting, and we're all waiting for something. Some people are waiting for a breakthrough today. Some of you are waiting for a relationship to be mended. Some of you are waiting for a miracle in your body. Some of you are waiting for that special person to come into your life. Some of you are waiting for to conceive a child. Some of you are waiting for a financial breakthrough. Some of you are just waiting. I don't even know. You're waiting for something from God. And yet waiting is hard. But I want to encourage you today, when you're in the middle of your waiting, like the people of Israel, many times it feels like, is God ever going to show up? Is God ever going to come through? And I want you to know this morning, He is trustworthy in your waiting. He is trustworthy in your waiting. The Bible is full of prophecies and promises in your waiting. One specific familiar one is in Isaiah, where he prophesies, says this, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But look what he says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew that strength. They shall renew their strength. It is a promise. Like, if you feel weary, if you are struggling in the waiting time, as you wait on the Lord, he says, listen, I'm not leaving you alone. I am going to give you strength. I'm going to renew you. He gives us a promise in the scriptures that as we wait on God, our strength is going to be renewed. Let me encourage some people today. It is wise to wait on the Lord. Don't take matters into your own hands. And we are all prone to get to that place that we want to get as quick as possible. Things aren't happening in the right timing, and so we take matters into our own hands. And I can say this with absolute truth. That is always going to lead to a mistake. It's going to lead to a mistake. When I was younger, I prided myself on being first. I'm a pretty competitive person. I want to be first. Then I realized that being first meant that everyone saw my mistakes. Everyone saw my failures and my mess ups. And I just want to encourage you, you don't have to be first. You don't have to be the quickest one to make a decision. You don't have to be the quickest one to speak. You don't have to be the quickest one to be right. You don't have to be the quickest one to achieve. Wait on the Lord. I look back over my life and I think the times that I didn't wait on the Lord were the times where I experienced the most pain in my life. I remember that season in my life where I knew God was calling me to a different position. I'm in ministry, and he wasn't doing it quick enough. I had to help him out. He wasn't doing it quick enough, and so I did. I took it on myself, and I decided I was going to open the door instead of allowing him to open the door. And I can be honest with you. My wife can attest to it. It was the worst year of ministry of my life. And after that was over, I said at that moment, I said, listen, God, I'm never going to rush to something again just because I'm frustrated in the waiting. Not going to rush to something again because I'm frustrated with the waiting. I'm going to trust God with my wait. I'm going to trust him that if he's got me waiting, then he's working all things behind the scenes that I don't see. And all he's doing is to prepare me for the purposes that he has in my life. We need to be okay in the waiting season. Like how many know right now, little kids are in a waiting season. They are waiting for Christmas. My kids were those ones, man, where you never had those little calendars that count down the days of December. Like we had this little snowman with a little snowflake you put in his belly on the day of December that it is. My son was there every morning. He made sure that snowflake was moved to the next day. There was something in the waiting, right? And I just want to encourage you, it's good to teach our kids to wait. To wait. It's a challenge for us to learn to wait on the Lord. Delayed gratification is good for us as Christians. It really is, because I think it builds integrity and character in our lives. To say, God, if you've got me waiting, I know that there's a purpose behind it. And if you're taking notes today, I want you to get this because this is the point to take home with you. Here's what I've realized. The only thing worse than waiting on God is wishing you had. You can say amen. Come on. The only thing worse than waiting on God is wishing that you had. You ever had that moment? You're like, man, you took things in your... I wish I wouldn't have jumped ahead. I wish I would have waited on God. I wish I would have listened to him. Wait on the Lord. And Advent teaches us that God is faithful to wait on. When we wait on him, he's going to come through for you. He's not going to leave you out there in some la-la land where you're just all by yourself. He doesn't come through in your timing, but he comes through in his perfect timing. And we got to understand that. He is faithful in the wait. So Advent season, it teaches us, it teaches ourselves, it teaches our families, it teaches our children that God is worth waiting on. By the way, I just believe this, if he came through in the past church, he's going to come through again. Like you don't have to worry about that. Like I don't know about you, what you're waiting on today and what you've been waiting on in your season, but I want to challenge you this. God is worth waiting on. I want to do something this morning that's a little out of character that we don't always do here at the church if you're visiting with, but would you maybe do an exercise with me this morning? I just thought we'd pause for a moment, and maybe right there where you're at, would you do me a favor, just close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes, and I want you to take a moment right there with your eyes closed, and I want you to recognize, what is it right now that you are waiting on? Maybe it's multiple things. With your eyes closed, blocking everyone else out, blocking everything else out of you, just take a moment right here. in this peaceful moment and say, God, recognize, what is it, God, that I'm waiting on? And when you recognize that in your own way, right there with your sitting, with your eyes closed, would you tell God, I'm going to wait on you. God, I'm going to wait on you. Does it make sense? I want it now, but God, I'm going to wait on you. Amen. Can we say it together? Or maybe you repeat after me. This would be a great prayer to the Lord. Can you simply say, God, I trust you. Come on, let's do it again, nice and loud. God, I trust you. Come on, Lord, we trust you in the waiting, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to wait on the Lord. So how do we have a Jesus-focused Christmas? Well, we wait on God. But the second thing we do is simply this. A Jesus-focused Christmas is about celebrating his birth. It's about celebrating his birth. Now, we've waited on him, just like they did in the Old Testament, and now we get to the place where he shows up. And you know what we call that? We call this Christmas. Where we get to celebrate him. It's when we celebrate the fact that Jesus showed up. Like, I don't like waiting, but I know that he's worth waiting, because when God shows up, how many of you know everything changes? Everything changes. And I'm so grateful for a God that will show up in this season. I'm so grateful for a God that's going to show up in the scenes of your life. And we have to understand it this way. It's simply this. The single most significant event in human history is the incarnation. God becoming flesh. Single most important, significant thing that ever happened throughout all history is this word incarnation. God becoming flesh. You hear that word in like Christmas songs and Christmas stories and Christmas poems. But the incarnation, it just simply means God becoming flesh. It's God leaving heaven, putting on flesh, being human, dwelling among us. Because the reality is this, he's a God that does not stay distant from us. So I don't know what you're waiting on, but I can tell you this, eventually he's going to show up. He's going to show up. Because 2,000 years ago, he showed us that in the darkest of times, he was worth waiting for. He was going to show up, and he did show up. And he showed up to them, and I'm going to tell you right now, church, and one day, he's going to show up again, and it's going to be really, really amazing. It's going to be really amazing. But as big and as splendor as all that God is, I also understand that even in the small areas of your life, God will show up. When you need him, he's going to show up, even in those smallest of areas. But you know why? Because he is simply God with us. Matthew writes it this way, right? His Bible says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We celebrate this. Like, listen, church, I'm not against, like, sounds like I'm being very ball humbug. But listen, I'm not against all the Christian figures. I love Buddy the Elf. He's awesome. I love all the Christian. I love the traditions. I love the decorations and the trees and the food and all those things. I love them. I adore them. I think they're wonderful. I practice them. But here's what I am against. I'm against the fact that when it steals the attention from the fact that God showed up on the scene 2,000 years ago and everything changed. When it steals that fact from me, I'm against it. So we should show up on Christmas Day and celebrate the greatest thing that ever happened in all of human history. The fact that God showed up. Celebrate that God did not leave us to our own vices, but it's an actual event. It's a true story. That's why it's a true story. It's an actual event that actually happened, and we are going to have a Jesus-focused Christmas because we know the reality that God showed up on the scene. It kind of reminds me of this manger scene that we've brought here this morning. You know, it's a really cute manger scene. We have it set up in our lives, and it really does kind of remind me. It's a perfect picture of what happened that night 2,000 years ago. You got the wise men that show up at some point, the shepherds that are there, the manger scene with the animals and Mary and Joseph, and every scene, every manger scene you see, Jesus is at the center. Jesus is in the middle. And this is how your life is designed, to have Jesus at the center of it. He showed up and he arrived, and everything should be around, be built around the arrival of that Savior. But how many know we do things a little different in life? What we've done in our lives is we don't put Jesus at the center. We kind of take Jesus and we put him out here. Well, you know what? He's a part of my life. Like, he's there. I mean, I have everything else going on in my world, but hey, don't forget, he's there somewhere. Like, we haven't just X'd him out of everything. I mean, come on, Pastor. Like, I'm here this morning. I'm going to be here Christmas Eve. I mean, he's part of my life. Why does he got to be the center? I mean, we have him somewhere in the picture. He's part of the life, but he's just not the center of it. And shouldn't that be enough? So what we do is we do things like, well, maybe we make, like, the spouse is the center. Well, my spouse should be the center of everything we do. I mean, God gave me this wonderful person who I love sometimes. Shouldn't they be the center of everything that I do? And shouldn't everything focus around them? And everything should be around my spouse is in the middle. It's all about them. Or maybe for some of you, maybe it's not a spouse. Maybe it's a friend. My friend is the center of everything I do. My friend is the biggest voice in my life. My friend is the one who guides me and leads me. My friend is the one who offers me advice, who cries with me and weeps with me. And you know what? The funny thing is, this is even in the church, right? Where the friend tells us what we should do and the friend directs us and leads us. And so the friend becomes the center of your life. It becomes all about them. Maybe it's not the friend so much. I don't know how to do this, but I'll just do it like this. Maybe, there you go. That represent your kids. Maybe your kids are the center of your life. Everything's about our kids. I mean, isn't it about creating happiness for our kids? I mean, isn't it about making them feel fulfilled? I got to be just blank and honest with some of us who have kids or have young kids or teenagers or whatever. But when your kid decides whether they come to church or not, shame on you. You have made them the center of your life. I don't care. I love my kids, but if they live in my house, they're coming to church with me. That's just part of the rules. That's just the part of, because Jesus is the center. And we've allowed them to direct us. Well, you know, their sports career is the most important thing. Their happiness is the most important. And we've made our kids the center of our lives. Here's another one, Mary. And we wonder why we're so stressed out because we're trying to please them so much. Huh? For some of you, how about, man, you made your pet the center of your life. Come on. Listen to me. Some of you sent me a Christmas card with your pet. You're not even on it. Your pet is on it. I don't need to see your dog at Christmas. Right? The Christmas card doesn't even have you on it. It has your dog. Find Jesus. All right? So, crazy cat people. You know, awkward photo. But maybe you've made the pet, you know, the center of your life, right? Maybe the center of your Christmas is not your pet, but maybe the center of your Christmas is just not who's with you. Maybe the center of your Christmas is like, well, everything's focused on those who aren't with us today. Who's not around the table anymore? Maybe you've made the center is a marriage that is lost, a child that moved away. And the whole attention of Christmas season is about who's not with you, who's not around the table. And I think we're missing the point. Like, it was never about them in the first place. As hard as grief is and loss, not to devalidate that, that's not painful, but they were never called to be the center of Christmas anyway. They never were. Maybe the Christmas, your Christmas, is really all about you. Maybe you've made Christmas the center of the manger is about you. How do I feel? What about me? What about church hurt? The church hurt me. They haven't come through for me. Christians have failed me. And not to devalue that either, but it was never about us anyway. It was always about Jesus. And maybe you've made Christmas about, well, how do I feel and what do I think and what about my ways and my purposes and all that. And it was never about that anyway. And I'm just saying, church, Christmas has got to go back to, no matter where you are in life, Jesus has to be the center. He has to be the center. And I promise you, I've said this 100 times, but I believe this with all my heart. When Jesus is in the center, everything else seems to fall in place. Everything else in your life will make sense. Everything in your life will come together when Jesus is put back in the center. Let me say it this way. I wrote down this way. When Jesus is the focus, guess what? Peace is the result. When Jesus is the focus, peace is the result. And if presence are your focus, if you put family as your focus, if you put loss as the focus, if you put the kids as the focus, and definitely if you put yourself as the focus, guess what? The result will be chaos and frustration. But if we put Jesus as the focus this Christmas season, you're going to experience peace that passes all understanding. In fact, the Bible even says this way, it will, when Jesus is the center, it will guard your heart and your mind. So you want a Christmas that is actually filled with peace? Put Jesus right in the middle of it. I just believe this church, he showed up 2,000 years ago, and he will still show up in your situation today if you allow him to. So let me close with this. How do we have a Jesus-focused Christmas? Well, we're waiting for his arrival. Maybe you're in a waiting season. You're in that time. Maybe you need to celebrate his birth. Maybe God has arrived and you just haven't recognized it yet. You've refused to release control and make him the center. That's what we need to do. But maybe the last one I think is just as important. How do we have a Jesus-focused Christmas is we follow his example. We follow his example. And you know what that is called? You ready for this? It's really deep. That's called Christianity. It's called Christianity. Christianity is you living as Jesus lived. You living as Jesus lived. How many know we've made it about so many other things? About do's and don'ts. What I'm not allowed to do, what I can't do, who's hurt me, who hasn't hurt me. You know, how do I feel? Is this worth my time? Is it worth my effort? We have made Christianity about so many other things, but Christianity is really simple. Live as Jesus lived. Live as Jesus lived. And I want to remind us quickly this morning, how did Jesus live? Because he didn't come to earth to just stay as a baby in a manger. He came to earth to serve humanity and to give his life as a ransom for many. And this, his whole life, I believe, could be summarized in two words. If you're taking notes today, it's this simple. Summarize his whole life, summarized in two words. You know what it is? Service and sacrifice. Service and sacrifice. If you want to make a difference in your life, you want to make a difference in your family's life, you want to make a difference in your friends' lives, you want to make a difference in our community, Do you want a different type of Christmas where Jesus is the focus? Then I will say this. Make your Christmas about service and sacrifice. When you walk through the mall, they don't have to hear you. They can think you're crazy, but pray for the people that are walking past you. When you go into your workplace, service and sacrifice. When you're at that family gathering or that Christmas gathering, service and sacrifice. I'm going to be Jesus with skin on. I'm going to live as Jesus lived. I'm going to serve and I'm going to sacrifice. When I don't feel like coming to church, service and sacrifice. When I really want to say, I don't say it, service and sacrifice. When I just want to throw in the towel, service and sacrifice. When I want to make it about me, service and sacrifice. We need to be constantly reminding ourselves, right? Jesus came to die. So when I'm going to that family gathering, I'm going to die. When I'm around those people I don't like, I'm going to die. When it just doesn't feel comfortable, I'm death to self in Jesus' name. Listen, it's what our Christian life is about. I wrote down this way. This Christmas, how about I encourage you this way? Don't just celebrate the life of Jesus. Emulate it. Just celebrate it. That's easy. How many know celebrating Jesus is really, really easy? Emulating it, a little different. Now I'm challenging you to take it to another level. All of you are going to do like we do. You sit around on Christmas morning and you open Luke chapter 2 and you read it together as a family. That's awesome. Some of you going to come on Christmas Eve. I hope you do. And we're going to gather together. We're going to celebrate. I love all that stuff. But let's also add another layer. Let's emulate him. Let's follow it. Let's speak as he speaks. Let's care as he cares. Let's love as he loves. Let's grant grace as he grants grace. Let's forgive as he forgives. Let's give as he gives. Let's sacrifice as he sacrifices. Let's serve as he served. This is the life that God has called us to live. Because Christmas isn't just about celebrating his birth, it's about modeling his life. 1 John wrote it this way. He tells us, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And I just want to encourage you, Christian Life Center, to have a Jesus-focused Christmas means that I'm going to live the way that Jesus lived. And I think as we change that perspective, we're going to watch how Jesus becomes the focus of Christmas. That we're going to watch how he's going to impact our lives when he becomes the focus. We're going to watch as he impacts those around us that we love and care about as he becomes the focus. I'll close it out to say this. I'm just going to speak for Heath, but I find it hard to do all the things, these things on my own. Like, I find it hard to wait. I'm not good at it. I just find it hard to wait. I find it hard to focus on his arrival because many times I'm waiting for him to show up. Maybe he's already showed up, but by the time he showed up, I've already taken things into my own hands. I've already done things my way. I personally find it hard to model the life of Jesus simply because I'm not him and my willpower is lacking. So how do I do it? It reminds me when I was a youth pastor many years ago. I was younger, I was more vibrant, and not as smart as I am today. And we did these things called lock-ins. If you don't know what a lock-in is, you need to experience one, all right? A lock-in is 12-plus hour experience where you get hundreds of middle schoolers and high schoolers locked in the church for 12-plus hours, basically overnight, staying up all night, playing games, and eating Cheetos. It's mass craziness. And I remember how hour and hour go by, and I'm just like, I'm not good at lock-ins. Like, I just want to go home. I want to be in my bed, but this thing is all night. It smells. Not the girls, the boys, by the way. And I'm struggling. Hours going by. Another hour goes by. And I'm just like, God, I can't do this. Like, I can't get through it. And one time someone came up to me at a lock-in with this new product that had just come out. And they came up to me and they handed me this new product, this thing called a Monster Energy drink. It changed my life. And listen, it might have destroyed my heart, but boy, did it give me some bounce, right? And I drank that energy drink. It was great. And every couple hours, I would start to fade again, and I would get another Monster Energy drink. I got all the energy in the world I needed. I was like, it was salvation. And then it would go again. Another hours would go by, and it would down again, and another Monster Energy drink to keep me going. And I think about that, and I really think that's the idea of what got Jesus through what he had to go through in life. Because, like I said, he didn't just stay a baby. And Luke 2 reminds us that, and the child grew and became strong. And he was filled with wisdom. And listen, and the grace of God was on him. How did Jesus get through all the rejection and all the pain and all the hard days and the exhaustion? He had the grace of God to carry him through. To carry him through. Hear me, you can't do this on your own. You can't wait on your own. You can't experience the arrival on your own. And you surely can't model Christ on your own. During your hardest, most doubtful days, it's the monster drink. The monster in a drink. It's the moments where you experience the grace of God that comes upon you. It carries us through. Where it's like, God, I need your grace again. I need your grace for that, this family member. I need your grace for this decision. I need your grace for the confusion and the doubt that I'm feeling. I need your grace for the selfishness that's overcoming my life. I need your grace for the sickness that I'm experiencing. I need your grace for the exhaustion and the lack of hope that I'm feeling. And here's what God does. Guess what he does? God gives grace. He gives grace. And he gives strength to those of us who just simply say, I need you. I can't do it on my own. With God, I can get through whatever it is that I'm facing. I can get through it. And my prayer over you this Christmas season is that you would have a Jesus-focused Christmas. And the only way, church, to truly do it is to have the grace of God empowering you during the season. The grace of God that will overwhelm you in these seasons. Some of you are in a waiting season. Some of you haven't recognized that God has arrived and he's here and he's speaking clearly to you. And maybe some of you are just in a place where you're like, hey, I just haven't modeled who he is in the way that I should. And I encourage you this morning, would you allow the grace of God to permeate you? Would you allow this morning the grace of God to empower you in a way like you've never experienced before? And when his grace is full of you, when you're full of his grace, trust me, you're going to get through it. You're going to get through your waiting. You're going to get through the points where you feel like, I'm so disappointing God. It's the grace of God that allows him to be the center. The center. Let's sing this together.
No, come.
Lastly, if your eyes, with your eyes closed or heads bowed, out for a moment. If you're here this morning, I want to give you this opportunity. I'm going to give you the opportunity to make Jesus the focus. Maybe your life is just like I talked about, where Jesus isn't the center, and you're living on your own way and in your own terms. And this is your opportunity to come back to Him and to say, God, I want to make You everything. I want to make You the focus of my life. And if that's you this morning, not to embarrass you again, we're in a prayerful moment. Our eyes are closed. We're not going to bring you forward. It's right where you are. It's a moment between you and God. But if you're here today and you say, I need to make Jesus the center, I need to refocus, I need to make Jesus the focus of my life, would you do me a favor? Just put your hand up, put it down again. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. Anyone else? Thank you. Opportunity right now. This is your opportunity. Lord, right now I pray for those in the room today. All of us who need to make Jesus the focus. And right there where you're sitting, it's very simple. Just say, God, would you come into my life? Help me to make you the center. Jesus, I need you. I'm away from you, but I want to be close to you. And it's not that Jesus has been far, it's just that we've been far. And yet, He's coming near. As Balaam prophesied, He's coming near. And that time has come. It's today. He's near to you. So simply, right where you are, God, would you come into my life? I want to be the you to be the center. In Jesus' name. So Lord, I pray over your people today. God, that your face would shine upon us, that we would experience the joy of Christmas. We'd experience all that comes with it, family and friends and gifts and presents and laughter and food and all those wonderful things. But when it's all said and done, may we truly celebrate the Savior who came. God in flesh, Jesus. And we thank you for it. So, Lord, go before us, watch over us, protect us, and keep us. Thank you for this church that allows us the moment to come into this place and encounter you. We love you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, can we give it up real quick to the Lord? Amen. What a great day to be in church. I have two requests for you. Don't forget, family communion, sign up. We hope you'll come Friday night. You're going to enjoy it. Wednesday night, lots going on here for our kids and youth. And prayer. And we have a prayer corner. If you gave your heart to the Lord or you just need prayer, you're in a waiting season and you just need someone to lay hands on you, we're right here to do that. And then finally, I would just say this. Invite someone to church next week, all right? Hope to see you. God bless you.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.